Infernomatic Productions.
Are you ready?
Live from the Metal Mayhem Studios in Rochester, New York.
We are gold.
And heard around the world by metalheads just like you. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Heavy metal music.
Your weekly dose of metal music, interviews, album reviews, news, and more.
Want to be part of the show?
Send us a message through our website, metalmayhemroc.com. Or hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Search Metal Mayhem ROC.
It's getting nice and heavy.
And now, welcome tonight's host, John the Vernomatic Verno.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to June. Man, summer is in full bore. I'm digging it. The guys are digging it, and we're here to catch up with everything that's going on in the world of Metal Mayhem ROC and the world of hard rock and heavy metal. As always, let me bring in my two partners in this metal crusade, Ian O'Rourke from the band Motorlord and Metal Walt from the heavy metal capital of the East Coast, New Jersey. Hello, guys. How the hell are we?
What's going on, brothers?
Hello, guys. Good to be back on after a while. It's been a while.
It has been a while. You know, the continuing series of History of Metal, you know, that's going on. We're approaching the one-year anniversary on that in August. But what we want to do tonight, we want to do a little house cleaning, if you will. What we're going to do, Walt's been seeing some rock and roll shows. Ian's been doing his heavy metal homework. I've been doing what I'm doing. We're going to touch base on some of the current events in the state of rock and roll and heavy metal. We also have Metal Mark James. Metal Mark James, he's part of our team. He's a 30-year veteran of internet and terrestrial heavy metal radio broadcasting. He's celebrating his 30-year anniversary this weekend with a blockbuster six-hour show on his platform. Let's bring Mark onto the show right now from Fulton, New York, Metal Mark James. Hey, Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Congratulations on the 30-year anniversary. We look forward to hearing all about it later in the show. I just wanted to introduce you to Metal Walt and Ian O'Rourke. You know these guys by hearing them on the show, but let's get an official hello.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
What's going on, brother? Glad to have you on the radio with us.
Nice to meet you, Mark. Congratulations on 30 years. That's a big accomplishment.
Thanks, Paul. I appreciate it.
Well, like I said, we're all in awe. I'm sure the stories go on endless throughout the 30 years, and we look forward to hearing it. Mark, we're going to keep you on hold as we navigate through the show, and we'll reach out to you on comments here and there, but you just stay tight and enjoy the show, okay?
Okay, definitely.
All right, thanks. All right, so let's start at the beginning. Metal Walt, you've been hitting the rock and roll trail. You've been seeing some rock and roll shows. What have you been up to?
Yeah, hey, but before we get into that, I want to tell the listeners about a very cool interview that I did earlier today. We interviewed Graham Bonnet of Rainbow, Alcatraz, and MSG fame, right? So that was done also earlier today. So by the time you hear this episode, Vern, when do you think that'll be up? Next week, maybe?
Yeah, next week we should. Yeah, next Thursday, the June, whenever that is. June 7th. 23rd. Yeah, 23rd. The exclusive Metal Walt and Graham Bonnet interview will post on the MetalMayhemRLC.com website. As this one is firing tonight, Thursday night. So look for that next week. Well, Walt, you did an interview. Give us a couple quick teases.
Listen, Graham has a new album out called Day Out of Nowhere. It's I would highly recommend. Take a listen to it, listeners. It's a good one. Very diverse. Melodic hard rock. Some very interesting and diverse subject matter on it. He's also a very, very intelligent, witty, and very funny guy. A lot of tongue-in-cheek humor in there. So, and almost turning 75 years old. So, a really great conversation. He provided a lot of input to his history, talked a lot about the years of Ritchie Blackmore and Michael Schenker and, you know, his plans go forward. So, and some interesting things about him as a person outside of being a musician. So we'll leave that up for the listeners in a week or so. But yeah, back on the concert trail. So, you know, me, Metal Walt, I'm a big concert guy. There's never a slow season. It's always a busy season. But a couple recent shows, I was able to catch Primus come back on the second round through the tri-state area late May on the Rush Farewell to Kings tour. Although I had seen it back in September in New York, I did catch it again in Jersey. Another great show. I mean, the beauty about Primus is they've almost turned into, you know, a hard rock, you know, jam band of sorts. And they play a different show every night. Their first set is always a different set of Primus tracks. No set list is the same. They expand and change the arrangements around. So it's a very unique show to go see. It is the original lineup. You know, Tim Herb Alexander has been back on drums now for a couple of years. Set was great. I mean, Rush, Saturday night with the Rush set again. You know what? What can you say? You know, front to back, Farewell to Kings. They wear the robes. Geddy has the stories. He talks about how he actually picked the brains of Geddy on certain songs and how he actually asked them certain pieces of how he actually played some of the songs, which was cool. And Tim Herb Alexander, he actually tries to replicate Neil's kit with the hi-hats kind of hanging down and that kind of thing. So I don't know if the tour's still going on, but if you hadn't had a chance to see it, it's a good one. And then this past Saturday, down by me at the local PNC Bank Art Center in Jersey, Sammy Hagar and the Circle with George Thorogood played on the second show of the tour. Saturday night in Jersey, beautiful weather. Listen, I still give Sammy credit. He's another guy. He's going to be 74 or 75 soon.
Yeah, yeah.
His chops are there. I mean, he sings, not flawless, but he sings efficiently. He's still got the range. He doesn't over-try. Listen, he's the life of the party up there. He's drinking. And what I love about Sam, he's out there in the crowd in between solos and songs. Everybody's handing him something from the crowd. He's got a pile of Sharpies on the stage, signs every single piece of everything for a fan, brings their homemade banners up. He really is truly cares about his fans. And, you know, the set list was, you know, your typical combination of probably about half Van Halen, you know, mixed her in with the solo songs and a few other things there too. You know, I like that this was the first time I think he's turning the microphone over to Michael Anthony. So Mike did a short Eddie Van Halen acknowledgement, and Sam walked off the stage and Mike sang Ain't Talking About Love, which was cool. And he did a hell of a job at it. There's some video going on around it. You know, what can you say? It's a treat to see these guys still doing it. He's got a solid band. The crowd was into it. George Thorogood was another guy. I mean, yeah, he's not hard rock, but man, that guy is just, he's a legend in and of himself, a fantastic guitar player. Party songs, you never go wrong with a guy like him. And you know what? They filled 3/4 of the amphitheater, maybe 10,000 seats. I think it's good for a Saturday, you know?
Ian, did you happen to see that clip of Mike singing Ain't Talk About Love?
I did. And what I liked was, I don't remember if it was Blabbermouth or somebody had popped something up. He's actually looking to, he's talked with Jason, Vic, and Sam, and he's going to dig into some of the other stuff. He said, he goes, and I don't want to do just the Ain't Talking About Loves and you know, the more popular stuff. He goes, I want to dig back in. And when, you know, Eddie Trunk, oh, that's who it was Eddie Trunk was interviewing him. He goes, you mean maybe some DOA, you know, or maybe we'll get a little bit of bottoms up or something. So I'm all for it because, I mean, he's still got the voice to be able to do it. So,
well, there's about that little interview that they caught Dave at the airport. Did you guys see that
one? Yeah, I saw that. I saw that.
I don't know if you talked about that, but that was also telling. And word out there is there was some talk of an Eddie Van Halen, some sort of tribute show or a tour.
Yeah.
So
there's a new clip last night, The Circle, and Mike saying Unchained. I watched, and it's pretty damn good. But quickly circling back, no pun intended, I've gone on the record. I have no use for any kind of tribute tour to EVH with a Satriani or anything like that. I'm not on board with that.
A one-off show would be good. You know, you do it like you did for...
Yes.
Like Chris Cornell, and I think one, the Foo Fighters are doing the same thing.
Yeah, you
get two shows. You do it that way.
Right? Yeah, you get like, you know, all Eddie contemporaries. You get a John 5, you get Lukather, you get possibly Brian May. They're good friends. Get the real heavyweights and the real guys that loved them, and you get them all there. Dave, you get Gary, you get fucking Sammy. You know, everyone that played with Van Halen, but you know who isn't there? And this is the first topic that I want to discuss is if we're cleaning out the kitchen. Is this
Wolfgang?
No. Well, Wolfgang, yeah. Wolf has to go there. Is this jerk off Mitch Malloy? You know, I know, Ian, I see you over there talking, you know, looking, but no, he's done a couple demos in the band.
Listen, here's the thing.
No. Dude has no claim whatsoever to Van Halen.
I agree with you, Verno.
Absolutely none. Hold on. I know you got a hard out
counterpoint here.
Your Pete boy. What? What?
Pete Thorne, you bet your ass.
Yeah,
Pete Thorne, and they did that. I'm telling you, man, if when you look at the shows, they did a great job. So if there's never any other Van Halen tribute that is done, that right there would suffice to me.
Yeah, but it's gravy training. Did you see the did you hear the announcer opening that show? Will you please go look at it, and it was sad.
Because I think it's not so much that he's doing the tribute, it's that he's billing himself as a former member of Van Halen almost got the job.
He was offered a contract and turned it down.
Come on, that can't be your headline.
You're offered,
that can't be your headline.
Yeah, you're offered something by, up in 5150 over a weekend of doing some demos by Eddie during the Van Heineken era. That's my take. So,
and then you wonder, is this the reason he's so far up his own ass that he's now at a Great White? I mean, not that that was anything big, but ironically, he leaves there. Is he going to build his Van Halen tribute career off of
this? Well, that's what they're saying. Now, speaking of that, you know, metal Mark Washoe's boy, Andrew Freeman, taking over, you know. Ian, you're a musician. You're a creator in a band. When is enough? Come on, Great White.
You know, and this is, you know, spinning back and kind of doing this backwards, but I got to jump into it now because, you know, and I'll let, you know, because I know that Walt's got some points that he wants to bring up. Great, great topic. Verno, you and I had this discussion after we did our bit on Creatures Fest, you know, with certain musicians, you know, all these guys nowadays having all kinds of issues. Hetfield himself, Pat coming out saying that he's having issues and, you know, sometimes it's tough and doing things. And listen, anybody that goes out and expects to see a band that is 40 years past the age that you first heard them and thinks that they're supposed to sound the same, you're delusional. That's first off. Second off, when is enough enough? Okay. Read an article, not directly metal related, Grace Slick talking about how she got out of the music industry back in the 80s. And she told the reporter, she said, and this is paraphrasing, but she said something along the lines of, I don't like to see older rockers up on stage. I think that it's a disservice. And she specifically pointed out Mick Jagger and saying, when you've got $8 million in the bank, you've got no right to be standing up in front of people saying, I can't get no satisfaction. I think it gets to a point, you know, the whole thing.
Well, we lost Ian.
He's here.
Oh, sorry. I lost you for just a second there.
Yeah. We lost you. You're saying it gets to a point.
It gets to a point, you know, where these, I understand as somebody, if you've got viable creativity, but when you've got, you know, millions and millions in the bank and all you're doing is playing all the old stuff. Vern, what did you say to me about, you know, the hottest band in the world there?
Oh, Kiss?
You know, when we were talking yesterday.
Yeah, it's exhausting. It's,
I think the Stones are actually, to defend them, I mean, I saw them 10 years ago. I mean, that was, you know, whatever. But I think they still sound good. Jagger's in shape. He's, okay, he's older. He's physically fit. He dresses cool. He dances. He sings. They got a good backing band. Okay, they lost Charlie Watts. But for the most part, they're delivering. Kiss is not delivering.
No,
Dean is delivering. But, you know, it's pathetic. But why do these guys do it, Ian? It's because they know they can. And people are going to go see them. They want to see the name. They don't care who's in the band. The brand's there.
I know.
And, you know what? They're a legendary band, so why not go as long as you can?
I will make a point on the legend bands.
A lot of it, too.
Like with the Rolling Stones and this Paul McCartney tour, those are... And I'm a little upset that I didn't have the chance to go see McCartney this past week up in Syracuse. But those are, it's not a diluted brand. Right. Kiss, that is just a, just, you know what? Just go away. Just fucking go away. And
but here's the thing. Here's the thing, you know, as a musician, you always have, or you usually have the drive to be creative, to get your music out there for people. When was the last time Kiss put out a fucking album? That's my argument with that. At least Metallica is spitting one out every 8 to 10 years in between. No. Kiss hasn't put one out since early 2000s.
No, they put out Sonic Boom. They put out Monster.
About 10 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, they've had a couple albums. Yeah, and for up until the last leg of the end of the road tour, they're playing Delilah live and, you know, or what's that, Hell or Hallelujah? Or there's
I mean, they still play Say Yeah on the tour. But Ian, here's the question I have is if Paul Stanley was still singing capably, this wouldn't even be a discussion. People would say, cool, Kiss is old. They're 75. They still got it. Sure. The makeup and the boots. The problem is not the band. It's Paul Stanley. And I love Paul Stanley. I mean, you know, it breaks my heart to see the guy up there struggling and then lip syncing to cover it just to have the star man out there. It's sad. I want to think back to all the Paul Stanley shows I saw even 10 years ago that were great.
But when is the gimmick enough? Because that was the thing too, you know, that Verno kind of touched on. You know, they've been riding that gimmick, the freaking costumes and the makeup. You know, they had to bring attention to themselves. So they unmasked in the 80s, and then they had to remask just so they could get attention.
Yeah, well, obviously, the reality is we are not their market anymore.
Well, it is coming to an end, too.
Yeah, we're not their market.
Legitimately, early 23 is the last show. It's going to be in New York City, and that's the end.
Their market is the young generation. Let's go see Kiss and this and that. And, you know, like some other radio personalities have stated, 9 out of 10 people that go to these shows, they don't know that that's not Ace Frehley. They don't know that isn't Peter Criss. You go to any of these shows, you know, they want to hear the soccer moms and the lacrosse dads want to hear the songs that we don't want to hear anymore. We are not their market.
Sure.
So enough.
I went to see Kiss on the end of the road tour. February 2020, right before the pandemic hit, they played up in Allentown where David Lee Roth opened. Yep. It's an hour drive from me. It was an easy in. I went fully knowing what I was expecting. But you know what? I'm like, it's the last time I'm probably going to see them.
I did too.
Who cares? I drank a couple beers, watched Paul fly through the stage. You know what? It was still a fun time.
I think I spent a couple hundred to have a seat like within the first three rows. I'm like, I was exact same way. I'm like, you know what the hell? I never see him again. But
I didn't pay for a ticket.
Well, we won't get into that. But what we will get into is who the hell's birthday is today. And to talk,
my birthday was June 4th. So thanks, guys.
Okay. Well,
happy belated.
Happy birthday.
And you guys played a show for me, apparently, Motor Lord.
Yes, Motor Lord. We'll touch on that in a little bit. But I want to bring Mark James onto the show because besides Mark's birthday this Friday, his personal birthday, and his radio show birthday this Saturday, today is the birthday of the almighty King Diamond. Mark, what about you and Diamond? What's your reflection on King Diamond?
Well, I'll tell you what. I had the pleasure of seeing Merciful Fate at the Penny Arcade in Rochester. It was a Into the Unknown tour with an Overdose. The Brazilian thrash band opened for them, and the Rochester band Hate Machine was the openers as well. Of course, the place was packed. It was a great show. King was on spot. Over this past weekend, I saw some of the footage at the Sweden Rock Fest. They still sounded great. You know, I mean, I know I'm a little kind of scratching my head a little bit about his new look with his costume, I guess. I don't know if he's paying tribute. I don't know if he's paying tribute to Ghost or I don't know what the deal is. So, but and aside from that though, I mean, they still sounded great. Last weekend, and I'm just glad that at least I got to see Merciful Fate one time, because who knows when they're going to ever play in upstate New York again? Who knows?
Well,
I mean,
if they,
we have to wait till after the end of the year, I think, right?
Yeah.
We got the one show in the States, and then we'll see.
Yeah, one show in the state, and then a whole bunch in Europe.
Yeah, I know. Well, we all better get a Metal Mayhem ROC Learjet so we can fly home.
It's usually going to something like Sweden Rock or Grass Pop. It probably is.
Mark, oh, huge.
Mark, now, Mark, you mentioned the Sweden Fest. What do you think of the new track? What is that? What is that? Something to... The Balls of Jezebel or something?
I thought, even, well, King mentioned on stage that the song isn't, like, really finished fully. They just wanted to get, they gave everybody a taste of what, you know, kind of like a rough, I don't know, like a, what would we call it? Like a rough demo or something? A demo version of it.
Yep. And the Jekyll, it sounds, the Jekyll of Salzhauer.
Oh, is what okay.
Right, and it sounded killer. It had the classic Fate sound and everything. So I liked it.
I'm looking forward to it. I hope they get in and record it legit and get it out. Because I mean, I'm with Mark on that. When I heard it, the first thing, hair on the back of my neck stood up a little bit. Started to get that excited feeling.
Well, back in, what was it? 2018 or 2019. He did a little U.S. tour, and he had that other new track, something, The Vampires of something or another.
But that was that Fate? I thought that was when he was with... It was just King Diamond.
Well, you know
the solo band.
Yeah, well, yes. At this point, who is he writing with? Is it just...
Well, it's Hank.
Hank Sherman.
I mean, yeah. There's no Michael Denner. He's not writing with Denner.
No, and he writes with Andy when he's
the Rock. From
yeah,
the King
but
Band, right?
Yeah, but that's not Merciful Fate. That's solo. But right. either way. So Mark,
go ahead.
No, I finish your thought.
Yeah, now it's just him and Sherman and a bunch of hired guns.
Yeah. Oh, they got Joey Vera on bass. I don't know how he whizzled into that that gig. And
hey.
That's probably because Armored Saint isn't doing anything right now.
And he said in an interview recently, he and King became good friends way back when they toured in the 80s. And when King moved to the States, Dallas, it wasn't that far. They would, hang out all the time. I don't have a problem with it because at least it's an old school dude doing the gig.
And Armored Saint, they have this fall tour with Wasp. And, they get up there. But, Mark, give us get us up to speed on your celebration this weekend. Give the listeners a little more backstory on your brand.
Audio Aggression started on June 5th, 1992. Now, I was going to have the anniversary show on the 5th, but it fell on a Sunday this year. And I know that many of my friends were away for the weekend, and I said, you know what? I'm going to do it the weekend of my birthday. So I figured it was better that way. And the show started back at WNYO up at SUNY Oswego, 88.9 FM. I was a non-student community volunteer DJ. I was there from 92 to 2001. Then I went on a brief hiatus, and then I joined Open Grave Radio. And then I had a brief stint on a Christian metal radio station called Blabber Jesus Radio.
Oh.
And then after I left there, I went to Brutal Existence Radio. And then after Brutal Existence Radio folded, I said, you know what? I'm going to go on my own, be my own boss, DIY, baby.
All right. Well, fucking 30 years. And what was that Christian metal? What was that called?
Blabber Jesus Radio.
Blabber Jesus Radio.
I didn't come up with the name. The guy that ran Open Grave Radio came up with that, and I was like, okay, whatever.
So in the press release, you stated that you're going to be doing a six-hour show.
That's right. Yeah, the first three hours of the program are going to be focused on 1992 only metal releases. And then the second half of the show will be all 2022 releases. Some of the tracks on that segment will be upcoming brand new stuff that I haven't featured before.
Oh, what a tease.
Cool.
Yeah, so, and then, of course, you know, during the mic breaks, I'll talk about the history of the program, throw in some old station drops from many of the artists that I interviewed through the years. You know, I used to do interviews, but now I just rather focus on just doing the show, playing the music for you guys, and I enjoy, you know, it's just easier for me that way.
All right, well, you know, you do a fabulous job. It's a nice community we have here, but, you know, like I've said many times on my show and whatnot, I lean on you. You know, you're our backbone, and I enjoy your product. So congratulations on 30 years, man. That's fucking, that's a haul.
Yeah, thanks very much. And, you know, it's funny that a Central New York, it's funny how a Central New York dude like me found out about your show from years ago. Thanks to my friend's FM radio stereo that had an antenna wire. And that's how I found about the original Metal Mayhem way back on WBER.
Yeah.
And then I got addicted to that station. And then, of course, there was Metallic Overdrive later on, you know, and I listened to that show every night for 7 years straight.
Yeah, yeah.
So you hear me talk about those shows a lot because those shows meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're, well, they're
ingrained in you. Yeah.
The Central New York and Western New York metal connection is, it's strong. It's legendary. We'll put it up, you know, against anyone. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, and of course, down in Jersey, where Walt is, you know, Jersey, you know, they've always had a great metal scene down there, too. Oh, yeah. So.
Yeah. The old Bridge Metal Militia, we still have WSOU. You know, Hardest Rock, 89.5, Seton Hall University Radio. That's been around for about 40 years as well. Still on
the
air.
Yeah, that's awesome. And of course, remember the band Blessed Death?
I remember the name.
No. Well, they had that song there about the old bridge of, what Walt said, the old bridge. I forget the name of the title.
The Old Bridge Metal Militia. The Old Bridge Metal Militia.
Well, they did a song dedicated to that.
Okay. Nice.
You'll have to dig it out and look it up.
Yeah, okay. I was just gonna say. Send heavy me a file, I'd like to hear that.
All right,
yeah.
That'll be my heavy metal homework.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
All right, Mark. Well, we'll be listening this Saturday night. Listeners, you could find these direct links at the MetalMayhemROC.com website, or better yet, you know, you could just seek out Mark James on Facebook. And Mark, what is... Tell the listeners how they could seek you out on Facebook or your exact sites.
All you got to do is go to Facebook.com/MJP5050. Look for the old school metal profile pic, which that's going to stay there permanently as long as I have Facebook. You can also check out past shows, Mixcloud.com/MetalMark52, which is streaming only. And my other archive page, archive.org/details/@OG Metalhead, where not only you could stream the show there, but you can also now download the MP3 of the show.
Oh, so there's many, many ways to hear Mark and his product. So one more time, congratulations. And as we say, all knobs to the right. Well, actually,
that's right. All knobs to the right.
It's Mark's slogan. All right, Mark, thanks for joining us. We'll be listening.
No problem. Brother. Thank you.
Yep. He's a good dude, man. He's fucking has the passion. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. What else we want to cover here, guys? The stadium tour. We had a MetalMayhemROC.com, Facebook poll recently, Walt, this week, and I put up there who's going, who's not going, and why. And what do you think the results were, Walt?
I'm guessing it's probably 60-70% not going.
Yeah, it was
pretty close.
Yeah, pretty close. Not going, but it was surprising. Some of the yeses were for some of the people I know made some good points. They're like, what the hell? I'm seeing, because the tour is at Rich Stadium, well, Highmark Stadium in Buffalo, and the next night is Metallica there. So some of the people are like, it's a mini vacation. And some are double saying, bill. What the hell, you know, beers and buds in the sun. But a lot of the no's were the obvious. Fuck that. They suck. They're fat. They're, you know, they can't sing.
Def Leppard can still do it. Joe Elliott sings all right. I don't know if we've talked about this, but they put that new album out forget the name of it, but it's okay. It's got a couple of okay tracks on it.
Diamond Star Halo.
SiriusXM played a couple songs. They did the album premiere. I mean, it's okay. I'm not going to go out and buy it, but I give them credit for trying to put something out there a little different or new.
Listen,
you know, the other bands, not my thing, but
yeah.
If you listen to that album, because they played a fair share of it, it's literally like a tribute to the Suite and Mott the Hoople,
because I know Joe's big on that stuff, right? Yep.
Badfinger, you know, it's got that kind of power pop, you know, glam, 70s glam. It's not, you know, you're High and Dry or anything like that, which I wish they would go back and do something like that. Who knows?
Well, first of all, you know, Pete isn't there. Steve isn't there. They were kids. I defend them in the fact that they're doing what they want to do. They don't have to prove anything to anyone. You know, just the fact that they came back from a bad place, you know, early 2000s and all that. But I'm not going to the show. Ian, you're not going. Wald, I'm sure you're not going.
I mean, they're not playing near me anyway. They're playing where the Mets play in Flushing, New York, and it's also the week I'm in Belgium for work. But had it been in Giant Stadium, 10 minutes away, maybe, just for the hell of it.
How perfect. The Mets play in Flushing.
But
Let's see. What else do you want to cover? We did the Kiss.
We said then there's the I call it like the heavy metal disabled list. You got
Jesus Christ.
You know, I just saw something. Jeff Tate's going in for surgery, not 2023. So all kinds of vest jokes are coming back. He didn't say anything serious. Then you have
Ozzy,
Sharon going on the daytime TV show and dramatizing the buildup of the story, which pissed me off even more than the story. How she had to say, breaking news, Ozzy's having surgery that will determine the quality of his life for the rest of his life. As if it's like a dramatized TV show. It's actually what she's doing. Like, okay, we know the guy's in bad shape. And then 2 days later comes out that he's got to have corrective back surgery because he's got pins in his back. And he's struggling through physical therapy through COVID and they need to try something else. So she's not wrong, but she had to make it such a gossipy story, and that's why we all can't stand her.
That's too bad. He's falling apart because, well, that ATV accident during
I think there's always that debate. Are we going to see him ever again? My guess is no. He can't get out on the road.
No.
Listen, you know what? And he would be a danger to himself if he did.
I said this before. I'll go on record saying it again. I haven't had any desire to listen to anything after Osmosis. And even Osmosis, I have to push myself to get through some of the sappy pop shit. The last couple albums he did, Christ, this last one with this Adam West or whatever.
It
was awful. Andrew Watt, thank you.
Under the graveyard, that was...
Oh, God.
I know, it's all fucking... And then, you know, I don't need to hear my Ozzy with... Who was on the last one, on the new one? Paul McCartney,
Duff McKagan, and Elton John. Well, apparently his next album coming out.
Yeah, the
next is actually being produced. And you have Eric Clapton, Tony Iommi on it. Yeah. I think I can't remember who's playing. Robert Trujillo's playing bass. So it's. But again, how much of it to me is an Ozzy album? I feel like it's people making an Ozzy album and rolling him into the studio.
Yeah, it's all probably
writing
all
the lyrics for him, and then they go into the studio and doctor up his lyrics to make him sound as good as they can.
Well, I'm sure they're not even in the studio. It's all, you know, file sharing and this and that. It's like, you know, it's crafting. You know, one thing we always prided ourselves in the heavy metal hard rock world was we were creators in a studio or in a rehearsal room. And right. But it's no different now than some of the hip hop or dance acts that fabricate and create this stuff in a studio.
Listen, go back even to when Sharon became his manager when he first went solo. The ego was so huge with her for him that you couldn't keep Lee Kerslake and Bob Daisley as the band. I mean, with Randy Rhoads, they were the magic.
Yeah.
That's what made those records.
I know.
And then Anyway,
so who knows?
The other person. What
is? Yeah, who else is on Heavy Metal IR?
Well, we saw Steven Tyler got addicted to painkillers after foot surgery. So they had to postpone that tour. Now Joe Perry apparently is going out and doing some shows, opening up for ZZ Top and a few others. And they got Gary Cherone singing. So back to the Van Halen link. And then the latest was, lesser name, but Kingdom Come, James Kotak, the drummer that was in the Scorpions. Sweden Rock, Disaster, Out of Sync, Drunk. His friends are coming out saying the guy's in bad shape. He needs rehab.
That was terrible.
You know.
And
so
I
just feel bad for that guy.
And I just heard on the Metal Mayhem ROC live radio show last night that the drummer of Motorlord, Don, is down for about 6 to 7 months. Yeah. Ian, tell us about your drummer. What's going on, man?
Yeah, I started explaining to Walt when we first were signing on. Don ended up taking a nasty tumble and ruptured and tore his rotator tendon and cuff, I think, in his right arm. And anybody that's ever, you know, hurt yourself, you know, even straining yourself, you know, if you're a drummer, there's a lot of this going on. So to extend and hit, do things. So he had been fighting through it. We played Slash Bash on Lance's birthday, birthday, excuse me. He fought through it and everything was good. A little sore, you know, but he had been doing PT and he'd been waiting, but now he finally got the results. And the bad news is that he's got to have surgery to correct it. And we're going to be on hiatus for a while.
Well, I'm sorry.
Tommy John surgery for the drummer.
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that, but,
thank you.
All right. Well, anything else you guys want to cover?
I just wanted to quickly mention, apparently Chris Holmes has finished his radiation, but as a result of it, he's lost like 40 pounds.
I saw that, and it's good for him to lose weight, but it's not always good when it's, you know, radiation.
No, but if you look at the shape of his face now, he looks like Chris Holmes, just, you know, I mean, a little wrinkly, you know, but he looks like younger Chris Holmes.
Yeah.
You know, where for a while there, he had that big bloated, you know, because he was heavy.
Yeah.
He got really heavy. Yeah. So.
No, and in one last heavy metal, let's call it the disabled list note, I went to the podiatrist yesterday and he found the piece of glass in the bottom of my foot and he did take it out. This is a true story. So I no longer have any pain on the ball of my right foot. So
Metal Walt ended on is, that note.
And that
Walt is back.
Metal Walt.
I'm back. I was able to walk back to the car to get home in time to drive for the Graham Bonnet interview. And Graham disclosed probably a little bit too much about his health this afternoon.
Oh yeah. Right? That he's still a
knees, got bad knees. And I was trying to, Verna was like trying to give me the prompt to, you know, cut him off. So I kind of made a little cliche about his sex life. And he kind of looked over his shoulder to make sure his wife was in the room. And he, yeah, I'm still, you know, I think like, yeah,
I'm still Johnny Holmes in the bedroom. And these two are doing virtual high fives and everything else. So,
yeah. Thanks to the little blue pill.
Yeah. Everybody's well, you know what?
Hey.
Whatever it takes. So remember next week, what's the date on that, Lance?
We 23rd. Said 23rd.
Metal Waltz interview with Graham Bonnet. So, all right. Well, that's about it. We got about 20 seconds left. Guys, great seeing you. We're going to put together another History of Metal for in the next couple weeks. And everyone, enjoy your summer. You know, get out, see a show, tell someone, you know, you love them and, you know, hang out with good friends. Don't take any bullshit, right?
That's it.
Walt, you're traveling to Europe. Be careful.
Thank you. No shows over there. I'm a little disappointed. I'm missing Grass Pop by one weekend. It's the greatest festival this year in Europe. It's got Maiden, Deep Purple, Priests, a whole bunch of bands, Merciful Fate's on there, all in a matter of 4 days. But unfortunately, I couldn't get over there because my eighth grader is graduating tomorrow, and that's obviously much more important than a metal festival.
Sure, of course.
Ian, you're probably going to the store this weekend. You be careful. We know things get a little crazy.
Well, you know, I mean, life in general, you know, can just go ape shit, you know, and, you know. Yeah. But everybody, hey, listen, happy Father's Day.
Yes.
We're all dads.
Yes, happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to any of the metal fathers that are out there, and, you know, just, you know, everybody just, you know, have a good summer and, you know, don't forget about, don't forget about us lunatics here, because we'll be popping in from time to time.
We got some good content coming at you this summer, right?
Okay, well, for my brothers in metal, Metal Walt and Ian O'Rourke, I'm the Vernomatic. Go to the website, metalmayhemroc.com, download some past shows, sign up for our newsletter, check out all the guys on the team, Metal Walt, Ian O'Rourke, you got Cal, you have Mark James, all the guys. So, all right, Ian, what do we always tell our friends? What do they have to do?
Keep it heavy.
See you guys.
Metal for Life.
Thank you for listening to Metal Mayhem ROC. Check out our website at metalmayhemroc.com for information on podcasts, archives, links to all our live radio shows, and all sorts of info. Please like, follow, and share with everyone, even your non-metal friends. And always remember to keep it heavy.